All right. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Furry Explained Show. I'm your host, Finn the Panther, and we have a fun one for you today because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, money, specifically saving money and planning on how to spend it and things like that. The video that went up this week was all about making a budget for a furry convention, and we're going to talk about how that video went, how I saved a little bit of money while I was at Anthrocon, which was the last con that I went to, and speaking of which, we'll end with a mini review of Anthrocon this year and how it ended up being my favorite convention of all of the ones that I've been to so far. But first, let's talk about the video that went up this week. It was all about making a budget for furry conventions. It was the second one on the YouTube channel, and so far, I think it's doing all right. Just like the first one, I think I would still give it a C, maybe a C+ this time. I think it was just a little bit better than the first one, but I think that was mostly because a lot of the pressure was off of making the second one now that the first one is out of the way. And the other thing was, this was a type of video that I was very comfortable making. It was in that category of a listicle, which was half of the old podcast episodes that I made when I was still making the old Furry Explained Show. It was very similar in that vein, and it was pretty well received, and I'm glad it did, since it was kind of my first stab at trying to take a well-known topic about furries and going to conventions and putting a little bit of a different spin on it. You know, I said in the video that, you know, there's a bunch of content out there about saving money and making budget for cons, but I wanted to kind of attack that idea of saving money and spending money at conventions a little bit more proactively. I kind of talked about how in this case, we're going to be making a budget and using a budget as something that you make and find instead of something that you do while you're at the convention. It's a little bit of a different approach, and I admit it does take a little bit more work beforehand, but at least the argument that I made in that video was the trade-off of that is that it's something you don't have to worry about while you're at the convention itself. Whereas when you're trying to stick to a budget at a furry convention, every purchase you make is always checking to see, oh, is this within budget or can I afford this? You basically, with the way that I like to do it, you basically don't have to do that while you're at the convention itself. And yeah, we kind of went over the idea of making a budget for a furry convention by splitting the budget itself up into two parts. Just to recap, the fixed budget is the stuff that you know what is going to be the costs before you go to the convention itself. This is stuff like registration, your travel expenses, how much the hotel is going to be for the weekend, you know, all stuff you kind of need to have a handle on and in many cases pay for before you even attend the convention itself. And then the second half is the variable budget. It's a little bit more tricky. It's the stuff that you know that you're going to buy, but you don't know how much of it yet. The biggest example of this is stuff like food, things at the dealer's den or the artist alley, or what I like to do is always leave some room for other fun activities that might not be part of the convention itself, but in case my friends want to go out to a nice dinner or do an activity in the city, I always want to make sure I have some money set aside for that. So if I get a surprise invitation, it's not going to be a big deal financially. And when you combine all of that, you basically get your budget for a furry convention. In the video, and I thought it would be helpful to actually walk through an example through the video. So we used Furrydelphia as an example, and we basically went through the exact same steps that I would make if I was hypothetically going to attend Furrydelphia, and that would be basically the budget that I would bring to that con. Now, just to know, I'm not going. It was just easy because it was kind of the next big-ish con that is coming up. But yeah, that's how I would actually go about it if I was attending Furrydelphia. And, you know, in the video, I tried to make it as simple as possible by just using three examples for each half of the budget. But in reality, there's probably going to be a lot more that can fit into most of those categories. For example, when I went to Anthrocon, I knew I was going to use public transportation the entire time, and I could have easily calculated and found and added the bus fare to my fixed costs, things that I would have known how much it would have cost before I actually went to the convention itself. Also, just to be transparent, in my example costs of the variable budgets, I was actually playing it super safe. I actually spent a lot more on things like art and food at Anthrocon, but I didn't want to make it too crazy because A, Anthrocon is kind of like my summer vacation, so I usually save up a decent amount more than a general convention, and because I want to enjoy myself. It's the July 4th weekend usually, and that's kind of when I only take vacations during the summer. And yeah, I wanted to make the numbers at least a little bit more reasonable and easier to kind of quantify, so anyone who wanted to take this video and use it for their own convention could have numbers to work with that were probably a little bit more similar than what they can expect for a normal size, mid-size convention. Now, that was the main video that went up on Tuesday, but I don't know if you noticed, but it wasn't the only video that I made on that topic this week. I briefly mentioned this in the last episode on this podcast, but I'm now starting to incorporate short form content as part of the videos that come out, and I made my first one on ways to save money at furry conventions. Now, before we get into that, I just want to say that making an entire informational video in about 60 seconds is actually kind of tough. It was a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be, and you know, I never bought into the idea that short form content creators have it easier than people who make longer videos, but you know, it's hard for someone as long winded as I tend to be to actually compress information down to just the essentials and present it in a pace that's fast enough for people to still absorb everything, but be done with the entire thing in about 60 seconds or less. And because I was so new to it, I actually played it super safe with the topic again and basically made another listicle video about ways to save money at conventions. And we went over things like pre-registering, when you're flying, looking at weirder flight times, and taking public transportation as ways to save money. Again, pretty safe, nothing too crazy. Just to recap on those, pre-registering is obvious. You could save a couple bucks if you register well in advance. I know the bigger conventions like Anthrocon, and I think Furry Week in Atlanta does this as well, where there's a cutoff a few months before the convention actually starts, where you can actually register for the con before that, and you save a decent amount of money. And it might not seem like a lot, but you know, it still counts. That $5-$10 extra dollars still counts and could be spent somewhere else. Going over flights was a fun one. I actually talked about red eyes. And speaking of making videos shorter, I actually cut out an entire disclaimer that flying red eyes only really works if you can sleep on a plane. But I think the point still stands and the point really got across. And we talked about taking public transportation, and I mainly talked about using the bus instead of Ubers. Speaking of which, there is a funny story about me taking the bus to and from the airport from Anthrocon, but we'll go over that when we talk about the review of Anthrocon and how that went for me. And sure, it was safe, but that's kind of the idea of how I want the shorter form content to work. I basically want it to complement the longer videos, which hopefully leads the viewers of the short forms to the main channel so they watch the longer videos. But even if they don't want to, there's still valuable content that they can consume, only just in a shorter vertical format. Now, the video itself, if I'm honest, wasn't all that notable. It was pretty straightforward, as I just described. But what happened after I posted it and it went live was a little bit of a wake-up call. For reference, the cool thing about short-form content is that you could post the same video multiple places. And in this case, I posted the short on YouTube Shorts under the same YouTube channel, Instagram Reels under my Instagram page, and TikTok, an account that I haven't used and has laid dormant for honestly a couple months. And its first post and first interactions was that video that I posted. And I don't know what different algorithms short form content goes through, but I would say that the video did really well. The last two long form YouTube videos, for example, are at the time of recording this on Friday, are they're hovering around 250 views. And the short, the YouTube short on there, is just a little bit less than 100 away from 1,000 views. And that's just on YouTube Shorts. On TikTok, honestly, if this was a video podcast, I would put up on the screen that meme of Shaq saying, "I'm sorry, I wasn't really familiar with your game," because man, was I really sleeping on the TikTok algorithm. Again, this was a dormant account. I followed, I think, 5 people. I had 0 followers. There was no bio, no anything, no posts, no anything. And again, this was a dormant account. I had the app installed on my phone, but I hardly ever opened it. I followed maybe 5 people. I had no posts, no followers. And after I posted the video on Thursday, it's now at over 15,000 views. It's gotten me over 850 followers, and there's over 40 comments on that one video. And again, I'm recording this on Friday, so all of this happened in less than 36 hours. And again, I did nothing to promote it or push it anywhere else, and I literally only used three hashtags. And I've said this before, maybe not on this podcast, but somewhere else when talking about short form content. But now that I've seen it for myself, I really do believe that TikTok can only be described as a cheat code. It honestly doesn't make sense how good that algorithm took that video from quite literally a nobody on that platform and put it in front of 15,000 people in less than 36 hours. So long story short, what I got out of that was I need to be taking short form content a lot more seriously. It even moved the needle on YouTube as well. I think that short bumped up the view count for both of the other two videos that were up, and obviously it added some subscribers as well. And if YouTube Shorts and TikTok can be loss leaders for this channel, I don't think they're going to be as impactful as the long form videos, but if they can act as things that bring people into the higher quality content, then that's a great setup that I need to reevaluate how seriously I want to take that half of things. But yeah, that's a quick little recap of how the videos went this week. And again, I'm satisfied with how they turned out, especially for it just being week two of making videos. And again, the direct feedback from YouTube and the analytics is working. You know, I shared in the last podcast that a lot of people were dropping off from the intro, and I shortened the intro on this video and my retention rate was higher. There's more people watching the video for longer. So because of that, the view count is rising a little bit faster than the first one, and I think the YouTube algorithm is pushing it out to a little bit more people. And I don't know about that unless I get the analytics on the first one. So if I go ahead and take a look at the analytics of this video and just watch this video that went up this week as a whole, I think the one thing that I'm going to try and take away from this is avoiding just dead air. There's a couple points in the video where there's not a lot happening other than me just talking. And honestly, I think that's more of an editing problem. I need to really get out of the podcast mode of editing these videos and edit it more like a YouTube video with hooks and pattern interrupts and things like that. But yeah, I think that's one thing. And also the thumbnail, you know, I'll be honest, the first two thumbnails are pretty awful. And I really left them for the last minute on both of those videos, and they really need to be a priority going forward since, you know, the rest of the video doesn't happen if no one clicks on the thumbnail. But I think I have a good idea on what I'm going to do with those and how I'm going to change my thumbnail style going forward. And, you know, the cool thing about YouTube is that you can go back and change the thumbnails of old videos. So I have a couple of thumbnail ideas that I could use for videos going forward and maybe apply them to the first two as well. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about the videos this week. They were honestly refreshingly boring to make, but again, we're just building up that content library before we start making crazier and more interesting stuff. And I think it did a good job accomplishing that. So let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll go over how the con that I last went to, AnthroCon, went for me. All right, welcome back. And I think we're going to start taking breaks now instead of trying to jam everything into one take like the last time. It actually helps me. I actually take a break and get some water. So it's a nice refresh, and I think it's a good way to separate different topics. But anyways, let's talk about AnthroCon 2023. And it's weird because I have both a lot to say and really nothing to say about AnthroCon because it was fantastic, and it was the most fun I've had at a furry convention, which shouldn't be all that surprising because AC continues to be my personal favorite con of all the ones that I've been to. But yeah, this iteration was better than the last one and better than any other convention that I've gone to so far as well. And I think after looking back at it, I think I had such a great time for two main reasons. The first one is just about the people, and I actually got to see a lot of people that I knew well. I like going to conventions because I get to meet people in this fandom in person and usually come away with at least a few new contacts from people that I met or got to hang out at the convention. Anthrocon, in this case, was very special because I also got to do that, but also saw people that I knew really well, and some of them I haven't seen these people for years, so it was nice to actually catch up with them and talk to a good friend properly in person again. The big group that I ended up hanging out with the most was actually people from the furry club at the college that I graduated from, and I haven't seen some of those people since before the pandemic and while I was still in school, and we all decided that this Anthrocon was going to be the one where we would all see each other again. And I had a blast running around with them, taking pictures and getting dinner and drinks together. We went to, I think, almost every rave at night together, and we're partying until early in the morning, and we didn't end up staying together since a lot of them could only come for the weekend, but next year we're seriously considering just getting a suite or a couple of rooms together at the main con hotel so we can all stay with each other as well. And that wasn't the only people that I got to see. I hung out with a lot of other people who I've seen at cons from time to time and got to catch up with a few people from my suit family, a few people that listened to the old podcast, and I also got to make some new connections with people in the fandom that I really clicked with. And I think that's one of the pros of going to such a large convention. You get to see so many people, people you know for a long time, and people that you get a chance to meet that may not go to a lot of the other smaller or local cons, but still end up being really good people to hang out with. Oh, and speaking of which, I got to see some of my non-furry friends who moved to Pittsburgh after graduating, and I actually took a few of them on a tour around the convention, and they got some stuff from the dealer's den, and they got to see me in suit and all that, and it was fun just hanging out with them in such a special space with people who are totally supportive and actually genuinely interested in this weird hobby that I have. But, I mean, that happens at most conventions, and I kind of expected Anthrocon to go like that, but it was still special at the way it turned out. But what was also really special, and what continues to make Anthrocon my favorite convention ever, is, surprise, surprise, fursuiting around the convention. Now, the real reason why AC is so special to me is because of how much the city of Pittsburgh really participates and supports the convention while it's there. This year, they brought back the block party where they closed off a couple of blocks down the main street that connects the convention center to the rest of downtown, and they even went so far as to put up new street signs that signified that the convention center was at the corner of Anthrocon Street and Furry Way, which is really cool to see. And this all culminated during the record-breaking Fursuit Parade, where over 3,000 of us walked along the parade route, and I got a chance to be a part of what makes Anthrocon so special. Not to get too abstract or emotional or anything like that, but walking along outside in front of literally thousands of people, all cheering and waving back at them, and things like high-fiving the kids along the route and posing for pictures was honestly an unforgettable experience, and it was one of those core memories that you make that's going to stick with me forever. It was one of those things that honestly reminds me of why I love this fandom so much and why I'm so passionate about it, because I was able to see the direct response of furries existing in a positive space and putting smiles on all those people's faces. And a similar thing happened during the block party. It was super cool to just walk around and talk with normal people while in suit and take pictures with them. I actually remember getting into a pretty long and deep conversation about Dungeons and Dragons with a couple who just left a restaurant after lunch, and it was honestly so surreal to have a pretty normal and standard conversation with them while in suit and seeing a bunch of other furries going around and doing the same thing. It's a great idea, but it's a really cool thing that Anthrocon does, and honestly, if those were the only things that I got to do that entire weekend, that entire trip and all the money that I spent on it would have been more than worth it. But thankfully, the rest of the con was great as well. There was great, fun, funny panels, the dances were good and diverse. They actually played more than just house and trance music at some of the dances, and overall, it was just a good old-fashioned fun time. Honestly, the only thing that really didn't cooperate was the weather. It was super smoky on Thursday due to the Canadian wildfires, which made it really hard to breathe. Then on Saturday and Sunday, it kept pouring. Like, there was like just periods of time, like no longer than 30 minutes or so, where it was just torrential downpour, and it just made going outside really wet and slippery. Oh, and I won't count this as the convention's fault, but on the way back, something really Honestly, it was funny now, but it's only funny because it ended up not being a big deal, but it happened on my way back from going from the convention hotel back to the airport. You know, I left the con on Monday and I had a flight early in the afternoon, and I left the hotel 3 hours early to get to the airport early and honestly chill and see what all the feedback on the announcement of making YouTube videos would look like, because I posted that announcement video that same Monday morning. And true to my word, I took the bus back from the hotel to the airport with a bunch of other people leaving the con. And as soon as I got on that bus, I knew something wasn't right with the bus itself. The engine seemed to be groaning louder than a bus normally should. And as we left the city and started to climb up a hill, the airport in Pittsburgh is on a little bit of a hill. There's a little bit of an incline there. And as we started to climb that incline, I started to smell something from the back of the bus that was quite rancid. Eventually, the bus driver pulled over on the side of the highway. We were on the 376 at this point, but we were on the side of the highway and opened the back of the bus engine hood, and just smoke started pouring out. And it was obvious that we weren't going anywhere anytime soon. So the bus driver called maintenance, and about 20 minutes later, this guy shows up and he takes a look at the bus and comes inside and makes an announcement that, yeah, this thing isn't moving anytime soon and we'll be stuck sitting here. Now, at this point, I'm a little concerned, but not freaking out yet, because again, at this point, I still have another 2.5 hours until my plane boards, but I definitely wasn't the only one on that bus, and people definitely were starting to complain about missing their flights. The maintenance guy goes back and checks the bus again, and he comes back in front of us and says that he's going to see if he can grab a new bus from downtown to replace us and continue on the route, because remember, this bus is full to the brim, so we just couldn't be transferred to the next bus that came along that same route. He goes on and says that the bus will be here in about 20 minutes or so, which kind of calms people down, but you know, when they say 20 minutes, it never ends up being 20 minutes, and an hour goes by. An hour goes by, still no bus, and the maintenance guy comes back and says that, unfortunately, there's no free buses, and now he's trying to get a mechanic to try and to see if they can quickly fix the bus that we have to at least get us going to finish the route, and then they'll go back and fix it later. He says that's going to take, you know, 20 minutes for someone to come out, and at least this time, 30 minutes pass, and the guy comes back. There was actually a couple of them. They came back, they opened the trunk, they did some tests, they turned the bus on and off a couple times, and they come back to say that the engine is basically busted and has to be full-on replaced. Now I'm getting from concerned to a little worried, a little bit anxious, and, you know, I'm still technically good on time, but the tension in the bus was starting to rise with people missing their flights. In fact, in between that time waiting, there were some people that were getting outside of the bus and calling Ubers to pick them up on the side of the highway to make sure that they got to the airport in time. And, you know, I was thinking about it, but after about another 45 minutes or so, the maintenance guy comes back and says that they actually secured a couple of buses from another district in downtown, and they're coming to pick us up, but they won't be here for another 15 to 45 minutes. So I say, okay, if these buses don't come in the next 45 minutes, I'm going to pull the trigger on an Uber myself. And 45 minutes comes by and the guy comes back and says, oh, they are on the freeway now. They're about 15 minutes out. So I say, okay, I'm going to stick these 15 minutes out. If they actually come in 15 minutes, I will still be at the airport with about half an hour to spare, which is still enough time to get my bags checked, because that was actually the main concern that I had, was making sure my fursuit was going to make the bags check-in cutoff. Otherwise, I couldn't get on the flight in the first place. But yeah, that was going to be my last straw. And thankfully, in 15 minutes, two buses did come and pick us up and finish the route to the airport. And I ended up making it, actually with still about a half an hour to spare. I was able to get my bag checked in and was able to go through security and get to my gate still about 10 to 20 minutes before we actually started boarding. So I know I was in a lucky camp, and some people didn't make it as lucky as me, and I'm sure a few people actually missed their flights because of that. And, you know, I hope they got some proper compensation, but, you know, I was able to make it, and now it's just another fun story that I can tell about that Anthrocon. But honestly, aside from all of that, again, the convention itself was great. And again, it's one of the first ones that I point to when people who haven't been to a convention are looking for suggestions. Oh, and that's actually another thing. The amount of parents showing support for their young kids going around the con was super sweet to see. And One of the moms even entered one of the dance battles with their two daughters, and they got a real nice standing ovation and were getting cheered on from the crowd, and was just one of those fun, awesome experiences to see the genuine support that this community can show when all brought together. So, long story short, I had a super fun AnthroCon this year, and I'm really looking forward to doing it all again next year. It was such a fun con to go to. And yeah, that's pretty much all that I had for today. There's going to be a new video next week as normal. I'm actually going to start editing it right after I record this. And not to spoil too much, but it's about Twitter. And that's all I'm going to say about it. You can probably guess where it's going to go from there. Or actually, maybe not. Who knows? But anyway, thanks again for listening. You can follow me pretty much everywhere at this point, at Finn the Panther. And if you do, feel free to give the short video a look and tell me what you think about how I'm making short form content. I'm interested to see the continued feedback on that. But yeah, that's all for this week. Take care, and as always, stay wild out there. Peace.